G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Okay, are we ready? We are. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 12. Give me a noise when you're there. Go, Pete. 12. Are we all there? Nearly all there? Go, Ben. Okay. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen? How good's that? We're not to be transformed by this world. What does that mean? We're to stand out, aren't we? You know, God wants us to be different. Stand out amongst everything else. Why does he want us to do that, do you think? There's a great deal of benefits for us, but it's also a great deal of benefits for those who don't know God. But, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of us that seem to stand out. More often than not, we blend in. God doesn't want us to just blend in, does he? Mark 4. Give me an oi when you're at Mark 4. Oi? Any ois? 21. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? It is not brought to be put, is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? It's to be put, it's to be seen. It's not to be hidden. And I feel that when we get conformed to the world, we're under the bed. We're not shining, we're not standing out, we're not being who God created us to be. We're just being a part of the same thing and rowing the same stream and the same flow as what everybody else is doing. We just blend in. It seems like we get caught up with the cares of the world and the world's way of doing things. And God says stuff about that too, still in Mark 4 and verse 18. Where it says, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. You know, unfortunately, that's where a lot of us, a lot of Christians are today. We're just part of everyone else. Don't hands up, but answer yourself. If you're amongst a crowd at a party or anywhere, would you stand out? Would people see that you're different? I ask myself this too. It's a question we should continually be asking ourselves. What is it? What are we letting shine through here? You know, it's really easy to get caught up in the things of the world. And the cares, you know, we get faced with the same problems that the world has. But we have a really real and different way we should be solving these problems. But instead of looking to the real source of help, we stoop to the world's way. And the world's way of thinking. And the world's way of sorting it all out. If you're living and operating in the world's system of doing things, it's only ever going to yield the world's answers, because that's what you're relying on. That's what you're looking to. And why does that happen? We need to be living at a higher level. And so the title of my message this morning is Level Up. We need to be walking constantly on a higher level. We shouldn't be walking in the ways of the world. We shouldn't be looking to the world for solutions. Often the world systems will bring you death. And that's not just physical death. We should be living at a higher level. God has called us to live at a higher level. Did you know, as a child of God, you are in the world, but you're not of this world. You are not subject to the limitations and the boundaries of the world system. I want to run something from a movie. If I'll get Pastor Les to put on. It's a really good movie. And it's about leveling up. And it's about what happens when we level up, or what happens if we choose to level down. And I think you'll see what I mean. And then I'll...
Hey, dude, it's a beautiful dress. Wait a second.
Just so you understand, out there on your own, your life expectancy is like here. With me, it's here. Without me, here. With me, without me. With me, without me. Me, it's you. Without me, here. With me, without me. With me.
With me is God. Without me is not. He's asking you the same thing. With me, without me. With me, without me. Where are you? Are you walking on that level of with me or without me? You'll live life here or you won't here. With me, without me. You choose. He was letting her go because she had a choice, just like we have a choice. With me, without me. We get so consumed with what's going on around us that it almost takes God way out of the equation. And that happens because we're being bombarded every day. We're faced with the news, with the media. We're told that there's an epidemic of something. We're told that the economy is going to fall. And you know what? We react and act to that the same way as the world does. Often we put on run to the doctors and get injections for the flu, or we lock ourselves up. And you know, more and more, you see people walking around with masks on their face. With me, without me. With me, without me. We should be standing out. We're not governed by the world system. We're governed by the Word of God. We panic, just like everyone else does. You know, that shouldn't be. We shouldn't be panicking. We're allowing things to make us exactly the same as everyone else is. We're not meant to look like that. We're not meant to have that. We're not meant to live like that. And you know what makes it worse? We don't even include God in our decisions. We don't make Him our focus. We don't trust Him with our situations. The results that would come would be mind-blowing if we did. If we involve God in every situation of our life, if we involved Him in areas of our lives, did you know He wants to be involved? And the witness and the things that He would do, if you would allow Him to do it, would be amazing. I want to share an example, and a few of you have probably heard this, but I'll share it in brief. You know, years ago, we had a friend come over and she had a really expensive car. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, she said goodbye and we shut the door and she just went her way and we were inside. And then not long after that, there was a knock on the door and it was her again. And she was quite embarrassed because she'd put her key in the ignition and it had jammed. She couldn't turn it which what way. Anyway, so we said, oh, okay. So Les went out and I went out behind him and the lady went out. And anyway, so Les tried to fiddle with the key to get it out. Anyway, it wasn't coming out, just wasn't going to move. Anyway, so after about 20 minutes, you know, he started sweating and was getting quite frustrated. And it was the sun was pelting down and he sort of walked away and he looked at me and I said, look, why don't we pray? Because he says, no, I don't need to pray, I'll get it. So I got like a hanky to wrap around the key so to give him a better grip and was trying to pull it and everything. And this went on for quite a while. And he sort of was getting frustrated and, you know, sort of not very happy. And I said, why don't we pray? And he walked inside and, you know, sort of we'd done everything. He tried that special spray thing that you put on to loosen things and the key still wasn't moving. Anyway, so he was huffing and a cruffing, going and walking back inside the house. And anyway, I just felt in the Lord, and I went up to the key, and I remember so clearly just saying to God, "This is so easy for you." And as I did that, I put my hand to actually move the key, but before I got a chance to do that, the key jumped out into my hand, and it was just sitting in my hand. And Les was by this time had got to our gate. So I just said, Les, and I held the keys up. Woohoo! And he loved that. Yeah, and, but my point is, it's not what I did. You know, one of the greatest things that I got from that, and I want you to get that, is that he cares about the little things. Things that are important to you. Something as simple as a key. Things that are important to you, something as small as a key coming out of an ignition. The whole creator of this universe cared about a key. And all I had to do was tune in with him or without him. At that particular time, Les was without and I was here. But that's... we all do that. I do the same thing. We're not there. But it's constantly renewing our mind. It's constantly getting there and thinking the things that God thinks and allowing him into situations in our life, even the small things. We need to become God-minded. If we become God-minded, we get God results. To allow his way, even when we don't understand how it will work. We seem to want to have everything figured out. What level is that? What level should we be? I have another example. It wasn't that long ago we came home to find that our fridge had died. It had gone poop, gone skis. Anyway, we didn't want to use credit. We wanted to be able to have a fridge that we owned. And anyway, so we were looking at maybe renting one for a very short period of time. And this was, I think we sort of, on Monday, we were looking around and online to see how much rental. I know Les and I both didn't even have a piece about that. And then he was talking to someone and they recommended, why don't you try Gumtree? You know, you might be able to get something on Gumtree often. Anyway, I, in the natural, down here, I thought, I don't like Gumtree. I don't trust Gumtree. Anyway, as we kept talking, Les and I said, I really feel that God wants us to go look on Gumtree. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go Gumtree. And he was saying, I really felt God is telling me we should look on Gumtree. So I thought, okay, well, obviously he's heard from God, so that's what we're going to go with. And so he got on to Gumtree, and there was this fridge, the exact fridge that we were looking for. The exact. It was bigger than our last one, a better than last one, and was, I don't think it had the price. Did it have the price? Can't remember. It had a phone number, and he rang this guy, and he said, you've got an ad on Gumtree. He said, I have. And what had happened is, he had gone to do some work, and his wife had put it up, and he didn't even know that it was already up. So we were the first call that he'd received, and he knew about the fridge. Excuse me. So anyway, long and short of it, we bought the fridge. The was an amazing price that we had. Les went and got it with Pete, and debt-free. We had a fridge within 2 days. Beautiful condition, works like a charm. The guy that we bought it from was so good that he let us bring the trolley home. Now, he didn't know who we were from a bar of soap, but he trusted us to bring it back. With me, without me. With me, without me. Where are you today? Are you there? Is that where you are? You moving? Have you leveled up? Or are you on the world's level? Are you thinking the world's solutions? And that's what we do. We think and look for solutions the same way as the world does. We don't look here. And that's where we need to be. And that particular time, I was walking here and Les was walking there. We have to level up. It's something that we need to start doing consistently. It's something that we need to start doing on a regular basis. But what are you hearing, and how can you hear God's voice if all you're doing is being connected to the world's words and the world's ways? When they're telling you you've got to be sick, when they're telling you that you can't get a job, when they're telling you the economy is crap, what are you going to do? Unfortunately, most of us just go with that. Here or here. We were called to be here. We're not subject to the world system. We are subject to God's way of doing. And he says, I wish for you to prosper in all things. I tell you that you are well. I thank you that I tell you that all things work together for good to those who love me. Is that what comes up in you? Or is it the natural solutions? Is it, well, I need to go and get a loan? Is it, no, I need to go to the doctors? Is it, no? What comes up in you? What is coming up? Because what is in you is what will come up. So what's in you? And for all of us, because we live in the world, if we're not tuning into God, we're tuning into the world. We're tuning into their ways of doing things. And that's the sort of results you're going to get. You're going to get the results that they're telling you can have. Amen. Do I hear an amen? Are you with me? Without me? With me? Without me? Life or death? You choose. You choose. You know, it's very easy for ourselves to talk ourselves out of God's answers. And the reason we do that is because we think that if they don't make sense to us, well, it can't make sense to God either. I mean, if we can't think of an answer, surely God can't, because I've thought of every natural answer that I can have. So if I don't have the answer, then God can't. Because we limit him to our way of thinking. We think, we try and limit him. If there's no solution in the natural we can find, then obviously God can't either. And that's not true, is it? The truth is, he knows everything, doesn't he? Does he know more than us? Does he need us to work out a way for him to work it? But we think we do, and so we cut him off at the knees. We just got to allow him. If we allow him into a situation, we don't call on him to tell him how he's going to do it. We let him do that. It may, and probably 8 times out of 10, he'll do it in a way you never thought it would happen. I want to share another story, and it was not that long after I got saved, probably 6 months or so, and I was a single mum and looking after some kids, and I had this beautiful little white car that I'd just been born again, that God had provided me with this car, and it was an amazing little car and beautiful nick. Anyway, I got into it one morning and I had to take the kids somewhere, and I turned it on and it wouldn't start, wouldn't go. And, you know, of course I knew everything about cars. I mean, I didn't even know you had to change the oil for a while. But anyway, you know, I had no idea what to do. You know, I was limited with finances at that particular time. I was managed to be able to get through my life and pay all my bills and that. But there wasn't a whole lot left over in the kitty at that particular time. Anyway, the first thing I did was, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I need this car because I worked also. And I said, I really need this car. And I don't know what to do. And so I walked back outside and was just standing there looking at my car. I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden this guy walked up to me. I don't know where he came from. My driveway, I lived in units and I live right down the end. So the driveway would go from there and my place would be, say, here. And I was standing sort of right near my car. And then I saw this guy walking down towards me. I never knew, didn't know who he was. Probably a man in his early 40s or so. And he walked up to me and he said, you got problems with your car? And I said, I do. And I don't know how he knew that. The hood wasn't up. It was just sitting there in its parking slot. And all the only evidence was me standing beside it. And he said, oh, do you mind if I have a look at it? And I thought, okay, all right. I was pretty coy about it, but I thought, all right. And I knew he didn't live there, only a small block of units. There was only six flats, so I knew everybody in the units, and this guy wasn't one of them. Anyway, he was fiddling around at the car and stuff, and then he got into the seat. You know, I probably worked on it probably 3 minutes, if that. I got in the car, turned it over, and it purred like a baby. I was amazed. I thought, wow, oh, thank you. And he said, you won't have any more trouble with this. I said, oh, awesome. And I said, look, what can I do? I said, I don't have much money. I said, can I make you a drink or something, you know, and bring it out to you and stuff. I wasn't comfortable with having him come into my place. And he said, no, but a drink of water would be lovely. And I said, all right. So it was only water, so I rushed inside, got a glass of water. It was probably all of 60 seconds to come back out. I came back out and he was gone. In a minute, and he couldn't have walked the length of my driveway to disappear. I would have seen him. With me, without me. I'm convinced that he was an angel. I know he was an angel that God sent. With me, without me. With me. The first thing that came to mind was, God, what do I do? It wasn't, should I call a mechanic? But see, that's what we do. He may tell you to call a mechanic, but have you asked him first? What's in here? What's coming out? We get so consumed and caught up with being transformed in the ways and the ideas of the world. Instead of his ways, instead of seeking who he is, he has a solution. If he can pull a key out of an ignition, if he can send someone from where, however, into the middle of Broadmeadows to start a little car, what are we doing listening to the world? Why are we just forever being convinced about their ways being right and correct before we even think about God? With me, without me. Life, death. My way, your way. And it's so easily done. I do it. It's something that we all do because we live in this world. But the important thing to understand is we are not of it. So what are you doing to live not of it? Well, you're just being swept away. Because you know why? And I'll say it again. It's because what's in our heart is what will come out. It's what's in our heart that we think. What we think goes into our hearts, rather. And that's what we live by. Because it's the world. And that's all we know. We're filled with it. Our thoughts are filled with it. We don't even contemplate God in our life. So how can you hear what he's telling you? Because his voice is not loud enough for you to hear. Is that it? Or is it because there's just so many other voices that are overriding his voice? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. With me? A really good measuring stick to know what's in your heart is, what do you do when trouble comes? What's the first thing that you think after the, oh crap? When trouble comes and you go, oh crap, then what? Do you revert to, let's find a solution? What can I do? Which most of us do. Oh crap, what can I do? There lies your problem. Does anybody know what it is? With what I just said? Does anybody know what it is? It could be other ones that we know. We're allowed the oh crap. But then the next sentence is usually, what am I going to do? What's the problem there? What am I going to do? That's the problem, because that's what comes out. What am I going to do? Instead of, God, what do I do? What do I do here? Crap. But what comes out usually, 9 times out of 10, is, what am I going to do? And there lies your problem. It's a good measuring stick. See, if we're full of the world's influences, that's what's going to come out. With me, without me. What are you full of? What am I full of? Are we separated from the world's ways? Is God the first thing that we think about when trouble comes, even when trouble doesn't come? Because God says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed. If we're doing what the world says, if we're believing what the world tells us to do, what is that? There's your answer. And they're never sufficient. They don't have the answers. I know this. If you call on God and you change your way of thinking, God will come through for you every time. But you have to change. You have to change. You have to change. You can't live in this world and expect God's ways of doing if you're just listening and accepting what the world is saying to you. If you're filling your eyes, you're filling your ears, and you're filling everything with the world's ways and the world's answers and expect God, how are you ever going to know what he wants you to do and how to do it? That's not what's going to come out of us. With him, without him. How do we change this? How do we change and start walking on that higher level? How do we level up? So that daily, and you know what? It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. It's not a place that we arrive at. We can improve it. We can get better at it. And we can get stronger in it. But if you don't feed it, guess what? You're going to be rowing the same way again. You're going to have the same solutions as what the world has and try and put them into your life that yield very little life. How do we change it? We change it by the word. The word is God speaking to you. The word is speaking to me. That's God. He's speaking to you through the word. The Bible is not just a book. It is a God-breathed, God-inspired message to you. and me. These are the things that it takes to level up. You need to understand that. You're never going to do it in your own mental capacity. Do you know revelation doesn't come from your mind? Revelation comes from your heart. And when you read the Bible, it doesn't, you don't get the revelation by reading the Bible with your mind. You get it when you read it with your heart. God speaks to the heart. It's when you get a heart revelation, that's what changes. The Bible is God's way of speaking to you. Don't just read it or explain it away. Psalm 119, verse 89, you don't have to turn there. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. His word is it. That's it. It's settled. Is it settled for you? We are to believe what the word says only. Not what we think it says, or not what we think someone else says it says. We need to see what it says, then we need to walk in the light of what it says. We have to go and look at the word ourselves. We have to get the word into us. You're not going to just think God, this majestic God that flies around in the heaven, is going to fix my situation. You have to get serious about it. You meditate night and day. You say, well, I haven't got that time. Well, 5-minute devotional every few days is not going to cut it. If you want changes in your life, then you need to apply it on a regular basis. You cannot look at the word or a scripture once a week and think that that's going to work, because it's not. Because that's not going to fill your heart. As much as the world feeds it, we can sit down and allow the world to feed our hearts with its crap, but we haven't got time to allow God to feed us his word. That will save us, that will deliver us, that will heal us. But we don't know how to apply it if it's not inside. God's word is a message to you. The keys to unlock this power are God's promises. His word releases divine power, 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3. The pages of the Bible are not meant to be left in the book. They are meant to move off the pages into our hearts. That's where the word is alive, in our hearts. We should never just close the word and leave it in there. We need to take it. We need to fill our minds and our hearts with it. Because otherwise, you're going to open your door to the world and you're going to be slam dunked with their ways again. You have to replace that with being slam dunked with what God says, so we're not conformed to this world. If you want God results, you've got to be God-minded. Steps to revelation knowledge. When you read the word, you need to expect the Holy Spirit to flood your spirit with light. John 14, 26. The Holy Spirit makes what we need come alive to us. And so when we read the word and you're saying, God, I expect you to speak to me here, he'll do it. He will do it. If you can turn the TV on and believe all the rubbish, why can't you open the word and believe all the good? Isn't it amazing how we're so willing to accept the rubbish, but we find it so hard to accept life? We need to meditate in the word. You know, meditation is such a big part of being able to be filled with God. Because as the Holy Spirit will show you a scripture, you take that scripture, you see, you think, I don't have all day to meditate the word. Yes, you do. Because you take the word from there that you believe God's talking to you about, you go about your business and you start meditating. It just means thinking. You start thinking and talking to him about the word that he's given you. And you meditate that. And you can meditate that all day. There's been words that God gives me that I meditate on for days. I know there's words that Les get that he's meditated on for months. That's how you meditate the word. You don't stop doing what you have to do. That's the excuse we use. We're too busy. No, not. You take the word, you have a word, you put it in your heart, you think, Lord, talk to me about this. I believe you're talking to me about this. What do I learn from this? How do you want me to have it? The more you do that, the more you walk in the world, and when problems come your way, and you're filling yourself with the word of God, that's what's going to come out of you. It's going to be the word that comes out of you. It's going to be, oh, crap. Thank you, God. Not, oh, crap, what do I do? You can have the crap. You can say that. It's cool. God knows that. But we need to be, what's coming out? What are you thinking? We need to think. The first thing needs to be, oh, God, what will you do? What do I need to do? How do I fix this? What do you want me to do? Those are the questions we should be asking. Meditate the word. Put the word first place. Because God and his word is one. Proverbs 4:13. Meditate the word. Apply the word to you personally. Make it a personal thing. Because we all have different situations that we're faced with. So the word has to speak to you personally. Is it speaking to you personally? Because that's when you need it. You know, if you're faced with situations that only you are faced with family, it's not someone else's word. It's the word that you have in your heart that's going to combat that. With him, without him. Carefully ponder how this word applies to you. How does it change your situation? You need to set yourself in agreement with what the word says. You need to act on the word. The result of meditation and speaking the word in action. Luke 6:46-48. As you meditate the word and as you believe the word, you need to act on that word. You need to put your feet to your faith. You need to walk it. What are you doing? Are you walking something if God gives you a word? The keys. I went to the car and I went to get the keys. With the car that the angel came to, I gave permission. I said, yes, have a look at my car. I didn't say, rack off, because I was God-minded. Not that I knew he was an angel, but I was believing God for the situation. And this was probably, and I'm thinking, this has got to be part of the answer. Is that what you think? Are you God-minded enough to put action? Because when you're God-minded, and you know and you're moving in faith in an area, that you've given God permission to move in your situation. But you've got to get rid of the crap. You've got to get rid of the bad and fill yourself with the good, because that's what's going to work. If you're just filled with the world, they're the results you're going to get. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out. If you're putting a little bit of God in, that's all you're going to get back. But if you honestly think that your ways are better, with me, without me. I know when I've moved in the natural, and I know when I've moved in God, and I know what yields the best results. I'm alive to tell you this. Because the world's way, I would have been dead. With me, without me. With me, without me. Because you've got to be filled from the inside out to combat the flood of what the world wants to have and believe. They may be sick, you don't have to be. They may want you to be broke or tell you you are, but you don't have to be. But if you haven't got it in here, how are you ever going to see it come to pass? Are you going to just receive the world's way? And settle for that? With me, without me. With me, without me. Level up. It's time to level up. We all need to level up. We need to move in that level so much more. With me, without me. And that's what we're faced with. That's the truth. Why am I telling you this? Because God wants to be a part of your life. He wants you to succeed in everything you do. Everything. He wants you to be well. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have good relationships. He wants you to be the above only and not beneath. He doesn't want you to be tormented. He doesn't want you to be depressed. He doesn't want you to be sad. And do you know what? He has an answer for every one of them. But if you haven't got it in your heart, guess what? You will stay sad. You will stay broke. You will stay looking for natural solutions to your problems. I want to encourage you and me. This lesson, this came out because God has been speaking to me about walking much more in a higher level on a much more regular basis. We have to do that, guys. We have to look for His answers. We have to be God-minded. If we're not God-minded, what are we? What are we? We're conformed. We're just doing a bit, going around every day, doing what the world tells us to do, accepting what the world says as truth. Some of the things the world tells us may be fact, but it's truth. Do you know why? And whatever piece of truth you need, it's here. You need to be filled with this. Whether that always read the word, but listen if you listen to tapes, listen to recordings, watch some God TV, just fill yourself. There's so many ways. Songs, so many good things to fill yourself with God about. Talk to Him every day. He should be your best friend. He should be your very bestest friend. With me, without me. What is it? What are you choosing? What are you going to do? What I want you to do is an exercise. And every day you get out of bed, I want you to say, I'm with you. I'm not walking here today. I'm going to walk with you here. Doesn't mean you will get it right all the time, but the more you do it, guess what? Those world voices are going to get lower and softer until they're non-existent. And the things that are going to be louder are going to be the voice of God, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. They're the voices you're going to hear. They're the things that you're going to be able to answer to make decisions. And if you haven't heard from God, you wait. Wait till you do. We don't always have to rush. If people are putting pressure on you to hurry, then you need to say, I can't. I will let you know. It doesn't matter whether they like it or not. That's not the issue. The issue is you want to hear from God. And you may have to make quick decisions. And if you practice being filled with God and acute listening to the Holy Spirit, you'll learn to be able to make those decisions a lot more quicker anyway. Because the more you practice it, the more in tune to hear, your ear will become to hearing Him. To live on the next level, we have to fill ourselves with God. Change our thinking to His way of thinking. That every day we face, we are walking above, knowing that it's God's way will come into our hearts because we have taken the necessary steps to go ahead. We will have leveled up. Remember? With Him is life. Without Him is death. With Him, without Him. I want everybody to stand up. Okay. I want you to have a stretch. I want you to turn to someone. And in a loud voice, I want you to say, with Him or without Him.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.